Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Like, you can go ahead and make your way over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we're going to start there in just a few minutes. As you're doing that, I want you to think of something that I think all of us tend to do. Have you ever just found yourself thinking about the weirdest thought? Just something that for no particular reason you just realize, why am I thinking about that time in kindergarten I opened my milk carton on the wrong side? You know, where did that come from? Have you ever played the game of working your thoughts back and figuring it out? It's probably a pretty good mental exercise, but on almost every occasion, there's a link. There's something that took you from thought A to thought B to thought C, and however many letters we need to fill in, you're at that really odd thought that you're at. There's a reason behind it. Looking at that from a little bit of a more serious light, a lot more serious sight, is sometimes we find ourselves in a mess. We have done something wrong. And our question is, how did I get here? How was it that I got to a point where this is the action that I did, this is the kind of life I'm living? How was it that I reached that point? I would suggest to you that just like that little thought experiment that we talked about, you can work your way back. And every time you'll find a link. That wherever you are, when you start looking back in your life, you're going to find choices, you're going to find decisions that you've made that over the course of maybe days or weeks or even years and decades has gotten you to this point where you don't want to be. And this morning, that's what I'd like for us to talk about. And we're going to base our thoughts really on the beginning of Psalm 1. Where we find this progression, where as we look at the psalm, the writer is saying to us, here is how you get from point A to point B to point C. As we think about that, though, I want us to kind of back out just a bit and take a little bit of a broader view of what we see in this psalm. That while we're going to focus here in just a minute on verse 1, which says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I want us to look at what our psalmist is saying about the wicked man in general. He does this at the end of the psalm. And in verse 4, he starts out by saying this, the wicked, they're not like this one I've just described, this tree of life, but instead are like chaff that the wind drives away. That's a phrase that's used a few times in the Bible to talk about something that really has no value at all. Now, in an agricultural society, they would have gotten it just like this, but I don't think it's hard for us to consider that. That you take grain and you toss it up in the air, and as the wind catches it, the part that's of no value to you is going to be picked up and taken away, and you don't care. In fact, you're happy about that because it has no worth. And the writer says that's what the wicked are like. They're going to be like the chaff that have no substance whatsoever. And the first wind that comes along, it picks them up and blows them away. But he continues on. And he says in verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. We find a contrast earlier where the blessed man is refusing to stand somewhere. Here the wicked man cannot stand in judgment. He goes on and he says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The idea behind this is one who's standing at the judgment of God. And as he's standing before God, there is nothing that he can say for himself in the way of defense. And so here, he's like the chaff. He has no substance. The writer goes on to say he can't stand in the judgment. He's not going to be included in the congregation of the righteous. And then as the psalmist brings the poem to a close, he says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. No substance, no standing, no salvation." And so the point our writer is trying to get across to us is this: we need to choose to be like the blessed man. And Lord willing, next week we're going to turn this psalm around and look at what it says about him, the things he's doing right. But this morning, I want us to get a really good sense of what the writer is warning us about. And so he says, the man who's blessed, the man who you can look at and say, he's got it figured out. Here is the man, he says, who is not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked. So conversely, the one who is not very concerned about righteous things is going to be willing to walk in this way. Let's start out, though, by talking about the best walking companion we can have. We find this in Genesis chapter 3, where it's talking about Adam and Eve, and it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." That should have been an exciting event for them, because this was an occasion where God is coming into the garden to recognize and to exercise that fellowship that he had with his human creation. The problem is here, they've broken that fellowship. And so rather than running to meet their walking partner and to spend that time with him teaching the difference between good and evil, instead what we find is that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And when God asks why, Adam's going to say, "We were afraid." That's not how it's supposed to be. The blessed man is going to choose God as his walking partner. However, the one who is unconcerned about those things is going to choose to walk in the counsel of the wicked. So what does that look like? As we think about dangerous walking companions that we can choose, who are those? One of the answers to that is that we could think about walking with those who are angry and bitter and retaliatory. For the next few minutes, I want us to explore these ideas from two books. It's going to be the book of Proverbs and the book of Matthew. In fact, if you want to go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be reading some of the Lord's words as we make these points. But for the one who is unconcerned about walking with God, the one who is walking with wicked companions, he may choose this ilk of people to walk with. And so Proverbs is going to tell us this in straightforward terms. He says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man." One of the beauties of Proverbs is you have these short little statements that are saying, here is how you need to live your life. Here is how you choose between right and wrong. And very emphatically he says, do not be friends with an angry man. Well, why is that? Because what we're going to see in that choice is that there is progression. There's progression. Sin progresses. And so we look at the Lord's words here in Matthew chapter 5. You look back to verse 21, he says, "You've heard this of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother," and then note what happens here, "will be liable to judgment." So we've got the initial anger. And that anger progresses then to insults. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. So you've insulted, you've been pulled in front of the courts for what you've said. But it progresses further, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire, to Gehenna, as the language might say. What's happened? We've allowed our anger to progress to such a point that we look at a fellow human created in the image of God and we say that person has no value whatsoever. That's what can happen. That's the progression. And so the question then would come to us, do I surround myself with this kind of counselors as I go on my daily walk? Am I walking with those who are angry and bitter and retaliatory? Think about the different ways we might see this. I guess it's always been the case, but in the modern era where communication is so freely present, we can hear a lot of anger and a lot of vitriol about political things. And you can turn on the radio most any time of the day. You can turn on the news channels, so-called news channels, any time of the day. And you're going to find people who are talking about how miserable another group of people are. And so there's this battle back and forth. And what you're hearing in that is a lot of anger. Are those your counselors? Are those the people you're spending your time with? I've also found that you've even got kind of the anti-political party. Those who are angry toward people who are interested in political things. And there's angry and there's vitriol in that. Is that who we're listening to? Go on most any form of social media and you'll find a lot of malcontents, won't you? People who are upset about politics, people who are upset about football, people who are upset about their taxes, all these different things. And there's just this constant barrage. Are we scrolling through that on a regular basis and filling our minds, walking with those companions? Or our fellow workers who can't stand the boss, can't stand the company, can't stand the way things are run, and yet we're spending a lot of time. Could we see that even in religious circles? That we're spending time with people who are just bitter? Maybe they're saying, I just don't like the direction of the church. I just don't like the way things are going. I don't like this decision. I don't like that decision. And there is a malcontent there. Is that the person or the people that we're walking with who've always got a problem, always seeing something wrong, never giving a solution? That's how sin progresses. Let's look at a second walking companion. Are we walking with the lustful? First part of the book of Proverbs especially is dealing with the dangers of sexual sin. It's like a father who's talking to his son and giving him all of this good life wisdom. And he's talking about a young man who falls into the wrong walking companion's arms. And he starts it out by saying in Proverbs 7:10, behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. What's going to happen? There's going to be a progression. And so by the time we get to the end of the story, the father says all at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a stag caught fast. What happened to the young man? He chose the wrong walking companion. And because of that, she has complimented him and talked about how wonderful he is. And she's thrown in a little bit of romantic intrigue that her husband's away. And he's likely not going to come home. And before long, we see the progression. The Lord talks about this. As we look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, he says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Listen to what he says in 28. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Here is one who looks, and what does he allow that sin to do? He allows that sin to progress. So maybe it begins with lust, and then his mind is inundated with those ideas. And the Lord says, you know what's going to happen next. That's the progression of sin. Are those our walking companions? Do we have lustful counselors? Are we walking in our daily lives with pornographers? Going to what they have to offer by simply a click of a mouse, you can find some of the worst images. Is that who we're walking with? Saying it's not really going to hurt anybody. If I look at those things, it'll be okay. Is it those who are coarse jokers, as the apostle would say, who are constantly in their conversations making sexual innuendos and telling jokes that are just smutty, and their general conversation is inundated with that? Is it the sexually impure? I'm not talking about being kind of a hypocritical, holier-than-you attitude here. I'm talking about where this is someone who is a confidant, not someone you're trying to help, but someone who has no moral scruples, and that's your walking companion. Are those my counselors? Let's look at one other. Are my walking companions the dishonest? Think about what the writer of Proverbs says here. He says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. There's progression. And that's what Jesus says. Down in verse 33, he says, you know, you've heard it said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God, the throne of God, or by earth, for it is footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great God. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. He's going to talk a little bit later on, at least in the account here, of Pharisees who had come up with this very clever way, they thought, of a loophole where they could make a pledge, but then they could find their way out of it when it was no longer to their advantage. That's the progression of sin. I'm looking at someone dishonest, and that progresses then to cheating, and it's spreading strife. Are those my walking companions? Do I have dishonest counselors? To our younger friends in the audience, you could look at the statistics and say almost everybody cheats. Almost everybody cheats in high school. But let me ask you this. Is that who you're walking with? Are you walking with the people who say, it's no big deal? It's too hard for us anyway. The teacher didn't explain it very well. And that's your walking companion? And you become part of that monumental statistic? For those of us who are a little bit older, maybe especially this time of year, do we walk with those who talk about how easy it is to defraud the government on your tax forms? About how easy it is to hide this income or to take this deduction you really don't deserve? Do I walk with people who are very willing to lie about things to cover their tracks? Well, the writer says the blessed man doesn't do that. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, because he understands there's a progression. And the psalmist says, the one who walks in the way of the wicked, before too long, he's going to stand in the way of sinners. And so what we find is, our writer is saying that if you're willing to accept the counsel of wicked men, then it's not going to be too long before you're willing to stand with them. And the point that he's making is, when you listen to enough of this, your way of thinking changes. The things that are going into your mind are going to change the way you think about something. And that should come as no surprise whatsoever to us if we know our Bibles. Because as the apostle warned the Corinthians, he said in chapter 15, verse 33 of 1 Corinthians, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Now, the context there are people who are teaching some errant religion on the resurrection. But this is certainly one of those statements that is true no matter the situation you're in. That if you are around people, if your walking companions are those who are constantly filling your mind with bad things, it should not be a surprise when you start behaving and acting and thinking in that manner. And so the proverbist warns us once again, be careful. In chapter 12, verse 26, he says, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor. That's our blessed man. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. The proverbist flat out says, what's going to happen when you walk with the wicked is that they are going to convince you that the right way is the wrong way, that evil is good, that good is evil. And how many different ways could that come out? Let me just give you a couple of examples. We're living in a time where if you accept the wrong way, you're viewed as part of the open-minded society. That if you have listened to the counsel of those who say it's perfectly okay to live however you want to, then you're going to decide that's right. Or it may be that someone convinces you to change your ways so that you're no longer one of those people who's stuck back there in religious tradition. No, what they're seeking to do is to get you to change your mind on the foundational principles of God, not some doctrine of man. But how easy it is to allow that to happen. Because if I walk with the wicked, I'm going to stand with the sinners. I'm now in their number. Which then fully leads me to the next progression. And that's sitting in the seat of the scoffer. We think about that word scoff, and it's used throughout the book of Proverbs many times. I just want to give you a smattering of those, just to get a feel for it here. We think about what we're told in chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. The writer says you're going to have a hard time changing a scoffer, because a scoffer is going to be abusive because he has no interest in the ways of truth. He continues on. We go down to chapter 13. It says a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. He opposes what's right, and when you try to reason along the lines of changing, there's no listening. There's a refusal there. Chapter 21, verse 24, scoffer is the name of the arrogant. Haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Why doesn't he listen? Because he knows he's always right. His way is the right way regardless of whether there's any sound reasoning behind it. And finally, scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. He's a troublemaker. Now, you could look at all of the other 20-plus mentions of scoffer in the book of Proverbs, and you'll find a very clear picture of who the psalmist is talking about. But it's one who's arrogant, refuses to listen, troublemaker, won't listen to the truth. And yet, if I walk in the way of the wicked, and I stand with the wicked and the sinner, then because my way of thinking is now changed, I take my place in the assembly. I don't know if there's anything to be made out of this or not, but the word scoffer is the same word that's translated like a go-between, like an ambassador. And so sometimes you'll be reading along in the Bible and it'll say, you know, this was an intermediary, this was an interpreter. Well, it's the same word here as scoff. I don't know if the writer had this in mind or not, but I suspect he might have. That what's going on now is I've taken my place in the assembly, and it's not just that I'm listening and thinking. Now, I've become the wicked counselor. It's made full circle. Because I've walked, and because I've stood, I'm now seated in their number. Because I'm one of them. And so what that would then mean is that I've become the wicked walking partner. And I'm the one who is discouraging others with my anger, bitter, and retaliatory talk. I'm the one who's spewing all of this hatred about whoever. That's me. And maybe I've become the one who's corrupting good morals. Maybe it's me who's encouraging others to look at this website or that website. Or maybe it's me who's telling the coarse jokes. Or maybe it's me who's no longer the good influence on others. Or maybe it's me who's encouraging these dishonest practices. You see what the writer has shown us? He said the blessed man stays far away from this kind of stuff because he knows what it's going to do to him. He knows how he's going to get, or maybe in his case, to stay away from point A, point B, point C, to where he is now. And so I warn all of us that we take heed. Again, quoting from the book of 1 Corinthians, this time in chapter 10, verse 12, the apostle says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." What had just come before that section, this verse, the section just before it, had talked about how Israel had fallen to idolatry and the sexual wickedness associated with that. And the point the apostle's making is that Israel didn't start out to be that way. They didn't start out to be a bunch of grumblers. They didn't start out to be a bunch of idolaters. But what happened over the course of time is that they demonstrated how easy it is to walk and to stand and to sit and to be changed. Here's the statement that must never come out of the mouth of one who is wise. And that's the statement, "It could never happen to me." I wonder how many times that statement has been made with just a few words in front of it, with someone saying, "I never thought it could happen to me." Whenever we allow a seed to be planted, it has the potential to grow. And if I'm smug enough to say, I can take in all of this and it's not going to change me at all, I am indeed a foolish individual. Because everyone has the potential of that. I think about what James told us in chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15, each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. There's the progression. And I must never say that this is not going to be my problem. Because what Psalm 1 teaches us is that spiritual countermeasures have got to be taken if I'm going to grow into that tree that's bearing evergreen leaves and planted by a stream of water. If I'm going to be that, I cannot allow myself to become chaff. And so I encourage all of us this morning to give that very serious thought. Wherever you are in your stage of life, young, middle, or old, I'm going to tell you, you can find the wrong people to listen to. And thus you can become the wrong person to listen to. And so I hope all of us will make the decision to follow the right path. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Here's the walking companion who's going to get us where we need to go, who's never going to tell us anything we don't need to hear, who's going to make it where we can stand in the judgment and where we can be seated with Him eternally. And I hope that's what all of us want to do. Thank you for your good attention this morning. I encourage any this morning who are struggling with sin to first of all realize you are surely not by yourself in this. Every adult in the room can testify to the difficulty and how easy it is to allow ourselves to become accepting of talk and companions that we should not. But maybe as we've read from the words of the psalmist and the wise man of Proverbs and the Lord Himself, you've been convicted that it's time to change. To put away your relationships with sin and wickedness and corruption. Maybe that means this morning becoming a child of God, that you no longer want to walk in the way of the devil. You're ready to walk in the way of Jesus. And Jesus says that's exactly what He wants for you to do. And that your sins can be removed in the waters of baptism by the grace of God. When you demonstrate the faith that you believe that it's here and now in baptism that God is going to say, your slate is clean. And you can change your walking companions. I hope you'll do that today. Or maybe you realize you've been walking with some you shouldn't. And that may be a very personal thing where it says, I'm just going to clean up my life and I'm going to turn off things that I don't need to be listening to and not hang out at the table where things are being said that I don't need to listen to. Maybe it's that personal decision. But if you've allowed that to take you down the road too far, and it's time to go to God and seek His forgiveness to become that blessed one, you can do that this morning. And if it's something that we can pray with you about, we'll do that. To go with you to the throne room of God Himself, where He has promised to be faithful in His forgiveness. If you need to respond to His invitation this morning, you can come now as we stand and sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening and we hope to see you in person soon.